Perhaps you have heard this expression, overcome evil by doing good. It's very difficult, it's challenging, it's disturbing, and it's sometimes absurd. But you know, if we follow this expression, overcome evil by doing good, the spiral movement of revenge, the spiral movement of hatred, and the spiral movement of violence in our society will be stopped. Do you believe this, my dear brothers and sisters? Because we do good to those who do evil. The expression tit for tat is out of the way, because doing good to those who harm or do evil to us is the right path. This is exemplified, my dear brothers and sisters, by David in our first reading. He had the opportunity or the chance to kill Saul, who was jealous to him. And actually, Saul had an evil intent against David because of jealousy. Saul wanted David to be killed. And the assistant of David, by the name of Abishai, says that moment, Sid saw the opportunity wherein David could end the life of Saul. And when Abishai told David that he had the opportunity to kill Saul, who had an evil intent on him, you know what was the reply of David? Do not harm the anointed of God. What does this statement mean, my dear brothers and sisters? It simply shows that for David, he saw in Saul not as a rival, not as an enemy, but a person who was created unto the image and likeness of God. You know, when people see other people with an image of God, then there will be no rival. There will be no enemies. This is also true with husband and wife. When you saw your partner not as an enemy because he has done wrong to you, but if you see him or her as a person, as a creature created unto the image and likeness of God, then you can patch up things instead of separating, instead of fighting back, instead of, you know, let your pride take its toll on you. So this is the problem of society. Tit for tat. You do me harm, I will do you harm. It is but logical. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. You do me harm, I will still love you. I will still forgive you. That's why this is considered as foolishness. It's considered as absurdity. But in the kingdom of God, it is the wisdom of God as exemplified by David. St. Paul had the same thought when he distinguished between the first Adam and the second Adam. For St. Paul, he said that the first Adam was from the earth, and therefore he is earthly. His values are earthly. While the second Adam, of course, is from heaven, and therefore he is heavenly. And he brings to us heavenly values, the values of love, loving the other as God loves, forgiving the other, be merciful to the other, in spite of the wickedness of that other, he still consider it as an element of love or receptive of love, become a receptacle of love. This is the second Adam is who? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ considered as the second Adam. That's why St. Paul encourages the Corinthians that we Christians should mirror the second Adam, not the first Adam. Because the second Adam was fired up with the life and love of God. That's why in his person, you can always see the love, the mercy, the forgiveness of God. Can we do that? You know, if we do that, my dear brothers and sisters, the world will truly be a good place to live in, where true love, peace, forgiveness would reign instead of hatred, vengeance, and all those negativities which usually ruin the life of every person. Now, the gospel, how did you find the gospel when you listened to the gospel? Isn't it disturbing? I was too disturbed by the gospel when I read it. And it's too absurd. Just imagine Jesus said, love your enemies. Aren't you disturbed? Because even your neighbor, who is sometimes not lovable, it's hard to love, he's not your enemy. He is not your enemy. He is just a person, but not lovable. It's hard to love. Much more great an enemy, isn't it? Let's be honest. Let's not be hypocrite. So it's absurd, no? But Jesus finds three ways in order to, you know, pardon me for I have this. Good to go. Three ways of approaching this situation for Jesus. Number one, golden rule. You know, the golden rule, was it originated from Christianity? When we were studying philosophy, even Confucius, the religion of Confucianism, it is very, very prevalent in their tenets. Golden rule, do good to others or do to others what you want them to do to you. And reminder, parents, please teach the golden rule to your kids, especially with the culture of bullying, bullying. So please teach your kids golden rule. Because if you do harm to others, others will do that to you. But if you do good to others, that will come back to you. Golden rule. Second, do better than what sinners and people of the world do. What do sinners and people of the world do? They are kind to those people who are kind to them. This is what, according to Jesus, what the people of the world do. They are only kind to those who are kind to them. But those who are not kind to them, they do not show kindness or goodness. What Jesus wants in our gospel is transcend that situation. That not only those who are kind to you, you will show kindness. Even those who are doing wicked things, show kindness. Isn't this what Jesus did when he was dying on the cross? What was one of the last words of Jesus? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So Jesus showed us that we should do better than what sinners are doing. And the third point in our gospel is, be imitators of God. And what did God show in Jesus Christ? Jesus is compassionate. He is the face of the Father. Being compassionate to sinners. Because had it not been for the compassion of Jesus, what will happen to us sinners? If Jesus would just allow justice to rule in our lives, because justice would say, if you sin, you ought to be punished. That's the justice. That's a simple justice. But Jesus transcends justice with his compassion, with his being merciful. That's why Jesus shows that even God shows his mercy, his compassion, even to the unjust, even to the wicked. God is not only good and kind to those who are doing good, but even God to those who are sinners, those who do wicked things, God is good. God shows kindness to them. That's why at the start I say, many in the worldly ways would say, this is absurd. This is disturbing. This is foolishness. But in the eyes of God, this is not foolishness. This is the wisdom of God. Doing good, loving one's enemies, praying for those who mistreat you is a grace. Just like forgiveness. Do you agree, my dear brothers and sisters, that forgiveness is a grace? Without God in you, can you forgive husband and wife? This is usually the problem. I could not forgive you for what you have done. But if you pray, and if the Spirit of God is in you, then, as what David said, as what David do in our first reading, he saw in Saul not as an enemy, but as a person created unto the image and likeness of God.